But there's an underlying process that goes on that you start appreciating, you know, once you leave the academy.
Right.
So maybe you're not realizing that you're truly working on some very difficult concepts about leadership. You start realizing them as you leave the academy. It's not when you, until you can compare yourself with someone who's not been at the academy, that you can see what you've been through.
Welcome to the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics Leadership Journey Podcast.
This podcast aims to share leadership stories from our VMI Corps of Cadets and high-profile leaders who visit the Center for Leadership and Ethics and VMI Post. We're on this journey with you. Hi, I'm Derek Pinkham.
And hey, I'm Emily Coleman, and we're your hosts of the podcast. Alejandro Villanueva is a professional football player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He sat down with us for a short interview about his leadership journey. Alejandro graduated from West Point, was an Army Ranger, and captain in the U.S. Army.
He served three tours of duty in Afghanistan, where he was decorated with a Bronze Star for Valor. He graduated from business school and is currently a professional athlete. He discussed with us how his view of leadership has changed throughout his career journey.
Alejandro was a Center for Leadership and Ethics 2019 Spring Courageous Leader Speaker. Our 2020 Spring Courageous Leader Speaker will be former NFL offensive lineman turned PhD mathematician John Urschel.
He will speak at Marshall Hall Gillis Theater on Wednesday, March 4 at 8 p.m. And without further delay, we give you Alejandro Villanueva.
We wanted to start by asking you what leadership means to you, given that you have gone to a military school, transitioned into being in the military, and then even into a professional sports team, and maybe what that journey was like and how leadership maybe even changed or your feelings about it.
Yeah, of course. So obviously the Army has its definition of leadership, and it's an acronym of leadership, you know, loyalty, respect, discipline. But I think obviously everything has to evolve, go into different positions, and you see different things.
Yeah.
So Army leadership, you know, sometimes necessarily is not the same as outside of the military leadership.
Right.
What I've learned is that culture is very important. Mm-hmm. And I think that creating a culture, establishing a culture is more important than leadership itself. If you're able to get people around you to do what you want one way or another, whether it's through team bonding activities, whether it's through critical thinking, whether it's through leading by example and inspiring others, there's many ways to do it, but ultimately the culture that you create in an organization is how you're going to measure your leadership.
Mm-hmm. Great. So when you were at West Point, first getting into it, what was the model there, and was it apparent to you right away?
The problem with West Point, and I'm sure you know, at VMI you have some of the similar challenges, is that you're full of energy, you're full of expectations, because you're living your best years, and you're constricted to the walls of the academy, and so your priority is not so much bettering yourself outside of that week,
right?
And how is it that you're going to have some sort of release from all the stress the academy? That's sometimes looking outside of the walls or speculating about the future, wishing that you're a lieutenant. Nothing that is about the day itself. But there's an underlying process that goes on that you start appreciating once you leave the academy.
Right.
So maybe you're not realizing that you're truly working on some very difficult concepts about leadership, such as keeping yourself in presentable, uniform at all times, waking up at a certain time and keeping a routine, shaving, understanding the rules, obeying by the rules. So even though you're trying to find everything around it to sort of find comfort, the institution is settling in and is instilling some values in you that are going to be very helpful. And they come, you start realizing them as you leave the academy. It's not when you, until you can compare yourself with someone who's not been at the academy, that you can see what you've been through.
Right, yeah. So transitioning actually into deploying to, was it Afghanistan, is that correct?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. How did that change? And you become a lieutenant. How does your vision of leadership there change as you go on?
So when I graduated from the academy and I went into infantry basic officer leadership course, what I found out is that West Point had almost 20% of all the officers. And so everybody was looking at how West Point officers conducted themselves to find the base layer. And usually there's a difference between those that spend time at the academy and those that don't, from the standpoint of time. Somebody who doesn't spend 4 years in a building like this doesn't have the concept of patience and of long-term delayed gratification. They're looking for the immediate, you know, what are we doing this weekend? What are we doing tomorrow? You know, it's very difficult to be disconnected with my friends and family. Mm-hmm. But if you've been to the academies, you've done that for 4 years.
Right.
And so that's a very helpful tool. Yeah, it allows you to stay disciplined, to have that long-term vision of the things that you need to accomplish, whether it's go to Ranger School, Airborne School, and then, you know, show up to your duty station, and how to achieve those goals. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, looking around the room, seeing what the requirements are, coming up with a plan yourself, and staying true to yourself, and not really jumping ship and abandoning your plan of action every 2-3 weeks when something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. You know how to fail, you know how to adapt to failure, and so I feel like, you know, that's when the dividends came due. Mm-hmm. Once I left the academy and I was on my own, I felt like I was a lot stronger from that personal leadership standpoint. And then, you know, it's not until I got to my first duty station and I was in front of real men that I was, you know, that I put those values to test.
Interesting, yeah. So can you talk a little bit about your interaction with your NCOs at the time?
Absolutely.
Your first?
So NCOs are, you know, the backbone of the Army. They always continue to emphasize how important it is to listen and to use your ears and your mouth in the same ratio that you have them, you know, 2-to-1. So to make sure that you're evaluating everything, you listen to people before you make any decisions. Mm-hmm. Because obviously there's a lot of experience in the fact that, you know, lieutenants sometimes come in and they start reinventing the wheel and neglecting everybody else around them. So being a team player was something that I learned when I was playing football, to make sure that you take everyone's input into making any decision. And then almost to a degree where you're valuing more what others have to say and then your own opinions in certain instances, because you've never been there, you've never done that. You know, mm-hmm. I've never deployed and I have to go lead men that have been there 3-4 times, you know, that are twice, you know, as old as I am.
Right.
And, you know, you have to understand always what the repercussions of not listening to somebody when they're very adamant about, you know, what they're saying and how that's going to impact the cohesion of the group.
Right.
So it's always about integrating everyone's opinions and creating value. It's never about dividing value and creating winners and losers. It's always about creating winners.
Right. Do you take that same philosophy into the locker room in professional sport?
Well, I think what's interesting about locker rooms is that it's a much more competitive landscape, in the sense that it's a small simulation,
right,
that gets just repeated every single year. And so there's very few variables that you can change. But you certainly see that culture is the most important aspect. And it's not so much the leadership of one person, but the influence of that person over the entire organization. You know, how are people viewing leadership and leadership roles? How are people respecting the rules? How are people, you know, sort of viewing themselves as key members of the team?
Right.
Creating that environment is crucial. And mm-hmm. so for me to walk in and sort of observe and see how the atmosphere it's created is pretty interesting, pretty cool, because I'm not in a leadership position. I think one of the interesting concepts that you've realized in the NFL is that to a certain degree, to be a good leader, you have to be somebody that people want to be. You know, whether it's, you know, in high school is the young fellow who's got all the girls crazy for him and he plays football and, you know, everything seems to be going very well for him. He sort of becomes the pseudo leader just because everybody wants to be like him. When you show up in the Army, the lieutenant is in great shape, that is intelligent, well-spoken, and is able to keep his things together and able to respond to difficult situations. He becomes the person that everybody wants to emulate. And then when you get to the NFL, then it becomes somewhat distorted. You know, you don't know who you want to become, whether you want to become the person with the most amount of followers on social media, whether you want to become the richest player, or whether you want to become the most respected player by a certain segment of the population. So I think in my case, you know, not a lot of players want to be married with 3 kids, live in the suburbs, and drive a used truck. And so it's it's very interesting to see how, you know, the other players that become leaders sort of enact that responsibility and how it has an effect on me.
Mm-hmm. Wow, great.
I think what you start realizing is sometimes, unfortunately, leaders in position, because they were elected by whatever circumstances, they create bad examples that people do not want to emulate. And that it within itself has a pretty, you know, uniting sort of effect, where people want to unite against a leader. So you observe all those things in an NFL locker room. Not so much, you know, maybe in the military, because everybody has different layers of leadership and you have a more continuing sort of environment where, you know, things are going to be the same way for a very long time. In my case, I feel like I'm so much debt to the military for the fact that they clothed me, they fed me, and they gave me a life that in return, I want to present myself in the best possible way so that I can honor the military and I can, you know, showcase the values that the military instilled in me and as a form of paying back. There's a lot of sayings that, you know, good guys end last, you know, in the NFL, and that's, you know, somewhat to a degree very true. When the money variable comes in, it just, you know, it completely disrupts, you know, all the
sure,
preconceived notions that we have of leadership. And so sometimes you have to go back and remove that and look at the military, which is an environment where everybody makes, you know, the same amount of money based on a pay scale.
Right.
And that simplifies things, you know, quite a bit.
Right.
So it's tough. I try to do my best, you know, for the military and not so much for the effectiveness of my brand or me as a player, because certainly those aspects, we've seen how other players and
sure,
other attitudes, you know, lead to a lot more success.
Right. How about a future for you after the NFL? Where do you want to take yourself with, where are you going from there?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I spent 4 years of business school, you know, on a year and a half program, so it took me a long time to graduate, but it gave me the ability to be in an environment where students are constantly trying to better their lives, and they're going through the same cycle of excitement and the, you know, harsh reality of what the civilian landscape looks like.
Right.
And then finally into graduating, going and taking a job. You know, I always try to explain to people, it's almost like if we all knew that an asteroid was going to, you know, hit the Earth and we have 3 days to live, and we'll have different stages on each one of those days. You know, as crazy as it sounds, well, business school is very much the same. You know, you come in trying to do the right thing, get straight A's, then you start going through your interviews and you realize that maybe your life is going to look a lot different than you expected it. And then towards the end, when you're about to graduate, you're partying like crazy because you know that life as you know is going to change. And so for me, it's given me a pretty interesting look into the what people consider being at a corporate job. And, you know, I'm not sure that's my lifestyle. I'd love to go back into the military, you know, if that's still an option somehow, you know, based on my family and based on how I feel physically. And then outside of that, I would never consider doing politics or or anything like that. So I'll probably just, you know, maybe open up a marina in South Florida. And,
that sounds like a really good idea.
Sunset, yeah.
Yeah. Great. Really appreciate it. Thanks for sitting
for sure
down with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
The Center for Leadership and Ethics would like to thank the following: Cadet Caleb Minus, Class of 2020, for the intro and backing music. Find more of his musical stylings on his Instagram page at Minus Official, M-Y-N-U-S, Official. Colonel David Gray, United States Army retired, director of the FMI Center for Leadership and Ethics. And of course, as always, our podcast guests. Find this podcast and other Center for Leadership and Ethics programming information on the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics website or try our YouTube channel. Follow the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram accounts. See you next episode of The Journey. Thanks for tuning in.